but then realized there was no system, there was no process, there was no value, there was nothing there that was that anyone was able to purchase other than the equipment. And so for me, from that point on, I committed to make something different, to make changes very differently. And the whole reason why I wanted to do a business was because of the commitments I made to my wife and to my family.
This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Beth, your marketing manager here at Paul Gough Media. I'm excited to bring you today's episode of the Paul Gough Audio Experience. On this episode, we're going back to our Ultimate CEO competition that happened here in Orlando back in 2019, where we had the top clinic owners from around the world battling it out to win a trip to London. For the past few days, we have featured several of our top CEOs from the competition. Today, you will be tuning in to hear about contestant Nick Hunter, who bought a rundown physical therapy clinic and turned it into a thriving business with a 43% increase in his profit. Before the changes he made to his clinic, Nick wouldn't get home until 9 p.m., but now he's able to return home early to spend time with his family. If you like this podcast and you want to be a leader in your clinic, you're in luck. Our very own Paul Gough is hosting this year's CEO competition in his hometown of Celebration, Florida. If you can't travel right now, no worries. This will be a hybrid event that you can watch from the comfort of your home. Just head to paulsbigevent.com to get started. And if you're still not convinced it's right for you, don't worry. Our special guest from the weekend is ABC Shark Tank star Kevin O'Leary. He will be attending the event on Sunday, March 7th to answer all of your business and leadership questions to help you add more profit to your practice. I'm excited and hope to see you there. Now let's get the show started.
But it's time to bring out the fourth of our ultimate CEOs. Are we ready? Are you ready for the next one? Yeah? Excellent. All right. So the fourth of our ultimate CEOs, this business owner, his revenue has increased by $131,000. His profit has also increased by 43%, and his clinic hours have been reduced from 36 hours down to zero. Up on your feet, make some noise. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Hunter!
Just for not making it too tough.
Yeah, scrap Nick's votes.
No, but sincere thank you all for being here and for Paul's team and getting all this set up. Things happen, we're ready to roll with it, and they did a great job of getting things situated, and to Jonathan for helping out with the adapter that we needed. So a huge thanks. A quick background on me. As you may have read already in the document that we submitted, I come from a family of physical therapists. My dad's a PT, my older brother's a PT. Growing up with a PT father, it was unique for me to not see people lifting with proper body mechanics or making stretching mistakes. It seemed so easy, but I didn't realize how much of that background was just built into me because of having a father as a PT. So I looked up to my dad a great deal, and much like Luke, he had a practice for 18 years, and it was an aspiration of mine to follow in his footsteps and to have my own practice. In fact, it was a goal I set after I graduated in 2010 to open my own place 5 years after I graduated. And as things went on, I ended up in a really good spot at a company that was paying me very well. I was doing very, very easy, very little work, but making a great deal of money. And so it was kind of tough for me to leave that position. Until about 2 years of that, I realized I was treating two types of people. It was those pain seekers, those pill seekers, constant pain, who wanted PT to fail because they had to in order to get their next prescription. Or it was those 70-year-old ladies who just wanted the massage, no exercises, and very little improvement. That was easily 80% of my caseload. And about 2 years of that, I was really thinking, is PT even worth it? Is this even doing anything I wanted to do, anything I signed up for? And why are we always getting these people? Why are we constantly marketing to the same population of people? And so things started to irritate me quite a bit. And then in 2015, my dad retired. He said he was done. And literally, like smoke in the wind, his career, his clinic was gone. There was no system. It was that marketing message that Paul says, 18 years in business, but you're running that business brand new every year. And so when I was thinking about taking it over, I realized that was not the way I wanted to do it. I wasn't going to do the same thing that he had done. I read that book. I knew how it ended. I bought the place for $8,000. It was 18-year-old equipment. There was very little. There was nothing there. And so it was painful for me to see, in a sense of the kind of career I thought, the kind of value I thought was being built up because of the time he had spent into it, but then realized there was no system, there was no process, there was no value, there was nothing there that anyone was able to purchase other than the equipment. And so for me, from that point on, I committed to make something different, to make changes very differently. And the whole reason why I wanted to do a business was because of the commitments I made to my wife and to my family. I was taught that no success can compensate for failure in the home. And it was very easy for me to think that I can hustle and I can grind and I can put in more time and more hours and make more money, but at the end of the day, is that going to be the life that I want to design for myself and for my family? And it was clear that that wasn't going to work. Because as I started the company, and I was doing that, as you read in the document, getting up at 4:30 in the morning, treating patients and not getting home till about 9 o'clock at night, fast forward for a year and realize, can I do this again for another year? How much more hustle, how much more grind do I need to do for this to actually work? There has to be something better. It created a big gap in my mind of how much knowledge I didn't have, how much more I needed, and I needed guidance. And so when I listened to that podcast from Jared Carter about Paul's Place, and Jake's already talked about it, where you start seeing, here's someone who's doing what you want to be doing. There's someone that you want to listen to. Those are some things that you want to be doing. And it became very clear that there's big changes, big shifts that I had to quit in order to make and design the life that I wanted to create. And again, like I said, it was very clear I needed help. So I felt like this nice lady right here to enjoy this next scene that's going to happen, and I got this rambunctious dog pulling me in every direction, causing me to miss out on the exact reason why I was there. And I didn't want to do that any longer. After working the amount of hours I was working, being away from the family that I was wanting to be with, only to have this go over every day and wake up and repeat every day. It was clear I wanted something different and I needed help to do it. And so last year in Orlando, we did the annual planning event. And one thing that you'll notice in all of our CEO presentations is the commitment that we have to planning. And after Paul talked about it last year, he does, I think it's 3 days that you guys shut down the whole place and plan out their year. To me, it was like I couldn't commit to 3 days, but I could commit to 1 day. This is the story that I put up in my head, right? I can't afford to do 3 days, so we'll just do 1 day. Well, so I got very diligent about every minute in that meeting is going to be productive. So we had a lot of assignments leading up, a lot of reading, a lot of background I had to establish that Paul takes in some of his time that he allots, that I put it all on the forefront leading up to it. So then when we met, we were very clear on what actions we were going to take and what we're going to go over so that we can map out what 2019 was going to look like for us. And we had three big goals, the first of which was to get me out of patient care. And we were able to do that in August when we hired my replacement. The other thing was we wanted to get very diligent about creating accomplishments in that we were able to define what our identity was in our marketplace. In Phoenix, it's, I'm sure in many other places like you guys, it's very competitive. There's 11 other PT practices within 2 miles of my clinic. Now, yeah, there's a lot of people, but there's also a lot of PT clinics. So how do I differentiate myself from all those around me? And we've been able to do that very productively in some of the accomplishments that we've committed to doing, and one of which is on our website now. We have nearly 100 case studies of video of our patients talking about how great their experience was and how they ultimately led them to achieving the outcome that they were intending to achieve. It's one thing to have, you know, all this hype and all this hustle of you having a great clinic and a family atmosphere and all this and that that sound really great, that can get people in the door, but if you're not getting them to the outcome that they're looking for, it falls flat. And so thanks to Fleming, is Fleming in the room here at all? Maybe he's next door. Fleming and Shelby have been monumental in getting this project off the ground, where this database of, we have 99 currently, we have a few that are in the queue, but it's searchable by gender, by age, decade, as well as by condition. And so on our website, people can find an answer for themselves is, do we help people like them? Do they help me with my condition? I'm a female, 60, with back pain. And it'll pull up all those cases with videos and with a report of their entire case, all in an effort to help them look at us as though we're a possibility in their future, and we've been able to do what they're looking to solve. Those are the numbers from just the past year. Huge growth for us in that we were able to plan for it, in that we were able to design for it. It was clear that it's very easy to get caught up in the drift, very easy to get caught up in the day-to-day, always working on these little tasks that need to be completed by that day. But when I quit the drift and began to work on design, it became much easier for us as a company to succeed. And when I say, you know, as great it is for me to stand in front of you to talk about our accomplishments from this past year, it's not about me, it's about the team that I have put in place, that the 11 other employees that we have that are all able to work fairly independently based on the design that we've created in the framework that we've put them in so that they can succeed and assist us in accomplishing these achievements. We have 4 clinical staff. I have a GM as well, and Shelby, who's here with us today. And we have an entire marketing department. It was, going back to my dad's story, in my fear of creating this business that is gone like smoke in the wind, I wanted to own everything. I wanted to bring everything of value into my roof and into my control. And so everything that we've done, it's been about how do I learn it, or how do I hire someone to learn it that I have under my umbrella, under my employ. And so our marketing department has been working extremely hard in creating all of our print, all of our materials is stuff that we've created. Everything that we've done as far as a message has been stuff that we have created, maybe borrowed from ideas that you guys are doing, but then put it into our own document and our own business, all in a way to show that there's a whole lot more value to the business other than just me being present. To the point now, 2019, whether I'm there or not, the business knows how to run, and from an operations standpoint to marketing to clinic care, everyone knows their role, and everyone does it correctly as Shelby is able to manage it. So the kind of freedom that Luke talks about, that Jake talks about, the choices every day to wake up and do what I want to do, are my own. Even such that, if you can push play on that video, Caitlin, I think there's just hover over the bottom. Or, there you go. Now the opportunity, instead of waking up at 4:20 and not seeing my family until maybe when they're asleep or one or two is awake, I'm able to sit and enjoy the morning routine and help them get off to school in the morning, walk them to their bus stop, enjoy these random arm wrestling matches that my 12-year-old has with my wife and loses. But it became very clear to me that if I'm going to be able to design the life that I want to live because I'm in control, I have to put in place those things that are going to help me get there, those interim situations that are going to help stepping stone me to that final destination. As you've noticed from other CEOs who've already spoken, and as Paul's already talked about, when do you quit dreaming? When did you stop? Because that's the moment that you stop realizing that you're in complete control of your destiny, of your future. And then when you do, you lose that chance to be a designer, and you just drift away. Much like that lady who's at 55, has no idea about retirement, now realizing she has maybe 10 years to prepare for the next 25 years of adulthood that she has to survive, there's just no way it's going to work. Unless you start designing now, what does that look like? What is your ambition? it got a whole lot easier for me when I realized I needed to make, for me, my number is $10 million. I need to make $10 million by the time I'm 65 in order to be able to care, to love, honor, and cherish my wife the way that I committed to do at our wedding vows. That grants me $200,000 a year for 25 years until I'm 90 so that we can survive with luxuries in a way that we want to. That means I have to make $122,000 every year to save and invest for the next 28. When you get that detailed into how you want to live your life, these decisions, this hustle idea, it goes away, and you get really clear and intentional about what activities are going to drive the numbers to produce the outcome that you're intending to. And that's how, when you look back and look at what does a CEO look like, what does it look like to be the one who's in charge, and that's how you do it. It's by getting detailed and granular in those decisions and those plans so that you can speculate how they're going to come out in the future. And for me, that was the game changer when we looked at exactly what did it need to be, and why is it 10 million? Why is it 200,000 a year that we needed? When you start asking yourself these questions, you start realizing what kind of life you want to be able to create. Paul will attest to this. The first couple of years I was in 4% Club, I didn't ask a single question. I wasn't very good at asking questions. I was very easy at getting direction, writing a bunch of notes, and going and executing, which is a great skill. It's part of why I'm here today. But it wasn't until after we started implementing, I started getting a little bit more time, a little bit more autonomy. It came a point of, what am I intending to do? I mean, obviously we want to make money. So we started to make money. That got pretty easy. After we started making money because of all the decisions that I was just following Paul, just doing what Paul said to do. Okay, just go and do. That's easy. But then it was, for what purpose? And that's when things really took off for us, is that we decided that we wanted to make very clear changes into how we were operating so that I would have the autonomy and freedom to continue to create and design for the business. And so for me, it's all about how do I continue on for the next year or two, the kind of activities that we need to be designing to accomplish or to make those accomplishments more valuable in the future. So for us, we're on our way to a $1 million clinic with about 2,400 square feet. Our goal by 2021 is to be 100% out of network. Medicare has announced 8% reduction in fee schedule and also some reduction in PTA reimbursement fee schedule. So we all know it's coming. We all know it's there. But now we're in a position to make changes necessary to continue on our course to make the money and to ultimately reach my financial ambition. Our goal is also to retain the current hiring that we have and be able to sharpen up a bit our hiring process and our onboarding process for people as they come and go. Of course, going out of network will allow us to raise rates, give us a lot more control on how we want to continue with our ability to stay sustainable as well as in our profitability, but also in route to our ambition. One takeaway that you're going to see from all of us CEOs is the awareness that it cannot happen alone. It cannot happen just with you showing up. Showing up will barely get your foot in the door. Working hard and hustling, good attitude, all these ideas that we've been preached to that are going to guarantee success, as you go along, realize they have a very strong ceiling. You are only going to reach so high. Yeah, it's better than where you would have had you not had those skills, but the only way to get to that next level is if you quit. If you quit that drift and begin to design. I have a lot of people to be thankful to. Many of you in this room, I've received a great deal of help from several of you in here. When I started to realize I could leverage the power of this group a bit more, I started to see how much more benefit there came. So I've received help in creating a few free reports from the Lings, from Nick. Christine Walker helped me out with another one of them. A lot of help from some of you individually. My CEO group has been phenomenal. You may notice a lot of the CEOs on the stage today are in one group. And it's on purpose, and they're going to say the same. They're going to be saying the same thing about the attention and the necessity of designing, and being intentional with what it is that you're doing with your time to produce the outcome that you're intending to produce. Of course, my wife. Huge thanks to her for the support and for for allowing me to and for giving me the trust and allowing me to live the life that we want to live. To Shelby, our ops manager, and to Dana, my sister, when I won Business Genius of the quarter in Vegas. Many of you had questions about Dana and about her role. She's here today, so you have questions. Make sure you seek her out and ask her. More than willing to help out. Another big thing that we learned, cash. You've got to have cash. Your financial literacy, the success of your business largely depends on your financial literacy and how you interpret those financial documents to make preparations and plans for how to get more cash. And the more you have in your bank, the easier it is to make decisions going forward, particularly about growth, but also about de-risking your business. All right, and lastly, I just want to say, when you start to realize that the value of help you get in return is a huge reflection on the value of help others see you, you start to ask better questions, and you also start to take your contribution much more seriously. When you start to think about asking tactical questions or low-level questions, you're going to find yourself getting very low-level or very mediocre help. When you flip that switch and get to be more reflective in what you're intending to do and even clearer in your request, you're going to find that the value of help that comes back to you in return is far more valuable and far more productive. I've noticed that a great deal. When I make an ask now, when I have questions and I make an ask, so many of you are coming forth with so much more value than what I had done in the past. And that's in large part because of the kind of network and community that that we have allowed into this group. You look around, this is a network of people who are finding themselves in similar situations and find each other as potentials for help in the future. And if we don't take advantage of that and speak that to one another and speak more productively with one another, we're not going to be able to reach our goals. We all have individual goals ourselves, but if we don't leverage that opportunity to speak, and Paul has said this several times, the amount of times that he has had more help or gotten more value out of the community of a group than any one speaker on the stage is the same thing that we have to start noticing. And so how much more value can we bring to the group? How much more can we offer to the group that is unique and uncommon is one thing that I've noticed a huge shift in the amount of people that we're bringing into this group is a huge testament to you guys. So again, I thank you all very, very much. It's been an honor and a privilege to be here.
Thank you for listening to Paul Goff's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgoff.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgoff using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.